Let us open our Bibles to the book of Joshua. We're continuing our journey through the scriptures. We're in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Some of these words should be very, very familiar to us because they are also our motto text for this year. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15 is part of God's holy and living and life-giving word. We read, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us insight and understanding, that we would see that as with Joshua, so it was with the greater Joshua. He and his house will serve the Lord. Help us, O Lord, to be a people that understand your word this evening and be strengthened by it, that we would receive strength, wisdom, and insight from these words written so long ago, inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that they would give us light and life and strength today. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, we have finished the first five books of Moses. We have now arrived and we're now venturing ourselves into the rest of Scripture. We have last time finished Deuteronomy, and now we arrive at the man who followed after Moses, the book of Joshua. It tells us about Joshua's conquest into the promised land. You'll remember that Moses was going to lead them into the promised land, but because Moses was upset about the impatience and the pressure that he received from the people of his time, he was unfaithful to God, and he smote the rock instead of speaking to it. And so God says, because of this, because you have not honored me before these people, Joshua will lead the people in. And that's what the book of Joshua picks up. Now, the book of Joshua, we can divide in this way. In the first five chapters, Joshua and the Israelites are preparing themselves to enter the land. In the next seven or so chapters, 6 to 12, Joshua and the Israelites conquer the land. And chapters 13 to 21, the land is divided among the tribes. And then in the last three chapters, we hear Joshua's closing sermon, which speaks about the need for the Israelites to be faithful to God. Now, the name Joshua means God is deliverance. It is the same name as Jesus had, Yeshua. Joshua is the Hebrew version of the name Jesus. The book of Joshua follows this man called Joshua, but it also celebrates the deliverance of God. He's not merely accidentally called Joshua. His name really is the overshadowing theme of the book. And so it ultimately points to God as the Savior of His people. And so I would take this whole book and this conquest into the land to be in itself a picture of God's ultimate deliverance through the greater Joshua, which is where we were going to end up today, Lord willing. Ultimately, it points us to the greater Joshua who will crush the head of the serpent, as we had begun to see in Genesis. And so as always, we will begin with the message of Joshua, a key theme, or what I would say the main theme that captures that is captured in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Then we'll look at four main themes: Joshua's call to faith-based courage, Joshua the proclaimer of God's word, God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promises, which is going to be a very important theme. And we'll close with the last theme of Joshua's typology of Jesus, which technically is not a theme in the book of Joshua, but then again it is, because it is pointing towards the greater Joshua. And then by God's grace, we'll seek to apply this book to our life. Let's begin with our text today in Joshua 24, 14 to 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your father that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, that means if you don't want to serve the Lord, if you think that's bad, that's not something you want. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is a man who shows, who typifies, who reveals in word and in deed what kind of life God requires from his people. His life is really an example, an exemplary life of what it means to walk faithfully before God. It begins and it ends, and we don't have time for this, but the beginning, you'll remember, and we're going to quote some of those passages. It begins and it ends with a determination to serve the Lord and not the gods of this world. And I think in our world today, we need the book of Joshua to take root in our own hearts. And especially, we need to look at Joshua himself and see the courage he had and the huge task ahead of him and how faithful he was, by and large, for the most part, in his life. We need to be, whether you're a man or a woman, to have that same courage that Joshua showed. Now, what we had seen here and what we need to understand is the context. Yahweh, the God of Israel, had conquered the land. We see in other passages that he is the one who will conquer the land. Yahweh is the one who helped Joshua all the way through. Yahweh is the one and true and living God. Now, the question is, who will Israel serve? Are they going to serve God or not? You'll see in our text that it is the last chapter of Joshua. This is at the end of all the battles. God has been faithful to his people in every battle. Whenever they would trust in God, no matter how great their enemies was, they were able to conquer their enemies because God was with them. And now the request comes from Joshua, really the challenge: whom will you serve? If Jesus or if Joshua has seen the power of God, and now he lays it before the Israelites, and he says, this is what God has done. How will you respond? Will you run back to the little puppets you saw in Egypt that people bowed down for? Will you go back to the little carved images that some of you are still carrying in your backpacks? Will you go to the gods of the Amorites, which is really a summary of all the people that were living in Canaan? I think that's how Joshua would understand this. Are you going to go to their gods now that you're going to be tempted by that? Or will you trust in the God who has given you victory every single time? The book of Joshua was written evidence for future generations so that Israel might make known the covenant faithfulness of God and his power to help the people who trust in him and not in the things of this world. This book celebrates the possibilities of a covenant people that is faithful in God. It's one of those books that we need to be reminded of again and again and again. We need to be in this book again and again and again to see what God can do to a people and to a person that is truly trusting in Him. Are we a people like that? Are we a Joshua? Or are we in the army of Joshua, following our leader, Joshua? The book shows that God proved Himself strong on behalf of Joshua. It shows us the willingness of God to bless and prosper His people, but it also gives us warnings. Joshua here says the warning of serving Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. In sincerity and in faithfulness. I think those words we need to be reminded of in our day and age. Sincerity and faithfulness are hard to find in the world today. There's a lot of insincerity, and we don't have to go very far. And there's a lot of faithlessness, and we don't have to go very far, whether it be in families or politically or in the world around us. Our world is filled with faithlessness and insincerity. But to serve God, we must serve Him in sincerity, truly, wholeheartedly. That cannot be a little pocket of our heart that we like to take the riches of this world and hide it under a mat somewhere in our house. We cannot have double motivation where we will say, I'll serve you, God, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning, and Friday afternoon. But not on Friday night. There cannot be any insincerity. He must be God over all, and we must serve Him with all our heart, faithfully. Faithfully is not always heroically. Heroically is when you do something mighty. Heroically is when there is a mighty army there and you run with your own by yourself and you're going to go march through that army. It's not what Joshua requires here of the people. Faithful, trustworthy to God. Are we a people that are trustworthy to God? The responsibilities that God has given us, are we faithful in fulfilling them and serving our God? And we can apply this to every part of life. Think about your role in your family, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have children or you are a child, or wherever you are, whatever your family situation is, are you faithfully serving God according to the role that you are now in? Or is your time divided between God and the things other than God? The warning Joshua adds to that is the warning of putting away other gods. God will not share His people with idols. That is very dominant in Joshua. You will no doubt remember the stories of Joshua, especially when they came into Jericho, and mind you, one man did something wrong. One man kept something, and really he idolized the riches of this land that was to be destroyed and was to be brought back. The gold was to be brought back to God, but he coveted in his heart. And the whole army failed. Next time, we'll dive into that a little bit today, God willing. We must put away every idol and in sincerity and faithfulness serve God. If you're a person who checks out after a few minutes sermon listening, This is what you need to remember. This is the dominant theme in God's holy word here in Joshua, that we serve Him faithfully with sincerity and that we do not divide our hearts and our life with other gods, but only to the living God of Israel. Ultimately, it teaches us that we are not our parents, that we are not our ancestors. Here, Joshua is teaching a new generation that says you cannot lean upon what your ancestors have done, good or bad. You must go in further on to this land and push on and go further when I am gone, Joshua said, and you must be faithful. Every generation of Christians has that same call to be faithful in our day. We can look back 400 years and say, what a wonderful ancestry we have. But what God requires of us today is that we are faithful today, and that we're sincere before God today, and that we put the idols in our heart away from us and serve Him alone. Which brings us to the main themes of the book of Joshua. And you'll see that these themes come and interact with these themes back and forth. First of all, I want to speak to you about Joshua's call to faith-based courage. The book of Joshua opens with a direct charge from the God of Israel, who instructs his servant Joshua with these words. Joshua 1 verses 5 and 7, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Now that's good news when you're about to conquer a land. "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." God gives Joshua a conditional promise here. "Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left hand, that you may have good success wherever you go." You hear that? That's a guarantee. If Joshua stays in the way of the Lord, God will give him good success. In other words, Joshua must be courageous in trusting God. If he is faithful to God, he does not need to fear any of the enemies that seek to bring him down. But if he is not faithful to God, he will not be able to stand. Be strong and very courageous. And Joshua discovers this in Joshua 7 verse 1. We read, "But the son of the people of Israel broke faith." They broke their faithfulness, we could say. "In regard to the devoted things for Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel." The people of Israel broke faith, and immediately they lose all their power. Immediately the fantastic victory run is stopped short. The lessons of Joshua 1 and 7 are the same. Joshua and Israel, and may I add, all God's covenant people, every generation, must walk in faith-based courage. A courage that is based upon a trust in God. Faith based courage. If we are faithful to God, God will watch over them, and they will break. But if they break their faith, they will find themselves to be defeated. Now, on the one hand, we could say it is quite clear that God has promised Joshua that he will conquer the land, he will not leave him, he will not forsake him, and that is absolutely true. And in the same way, we could apply that to the New Testament. God will help us through. He will bring us home. He will watch over us. The saints will persevere ultimately and finally. And yet, there is an aspect of our life where we must walk in faith-based courage all the days of our life. The New Testament actually picks up this theme in Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says in Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Joshua quoted in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. The Hebrew author combines the overarching teaching of the theme of Joshua and he puts it in a practical application. And he's bringing that I will never leave you or forsake you from Joshua 1. He connects it to the sin of Achan, who loved money. And he brings that together and he applies it to the church today. Hebrews 13:5. And he says, listen, don't let there be any covetousness in your heart, because God has promised to be with you and not to forsake you. And remember that if you put your heart to the things of this world, you will suffer loss in your walk on this earth. Joshua is relevant to us today. Isn't that amazing? You see all these things fitting together. I think so often we have kind of the, well, God will watch over us anyway, no matter what we do. I'm a believer in Jesus, so no matter where I walk, no matter what I do, makes no difference at all. I believe in the sovereignty of God. And I believe in the sovereignty of God. And God certainly believes in the sovereignty of God. And yet he says, you must be faithful. You must walk with me. And I will be with you. And strengthen you. And help you. It makes a difference, brothers and sisters, if we are walking according to faith-based courage or idolized foolishness. It makes a difference in our life, and especially the people around us. It makes a difference. If we are courageously following God and faithful to Him, we will see the blessing of God upon our life for the spiritual benefit of our own souls and the people around us and the city around us and the nation around us and the world around us. Or if we are beginning to be coveting the things of this world. That's what the author of Hebrews says. You see, let me read it to you again. I want you to see the connection. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For reason, this is why he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be like Joshua. Faithful. Joshua was to stay focused on God. In the same way, we must keep our lives free from the love of money. And then the author of Hebrew connects all of this, that God is with us, a life of faith and singly devotedness to God is a life of faith-based courage. We see a positive example of this faith-based courage of Joshua and its possibilities in Joshua 10:12-13. Now I know we live in a world that seeks to deny everything supernatural. But this house here tonight should be different. For this is a house of people that believes in the supernatural power of God. And so when we read what we're about to read, I want you to think and realize what we are reading here and what is actually happening here. Because this is astonishing. Joshua 10:12-13. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, are you catching the picture here? He's speaking to God. And then, while all the people can see him, he begins to speak in a different direction. And he speaks in the sight of Israel. Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Yashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Here, Joshua, this man of God, in the midst of the battle, you see him first praying to God and then looking at the sun, and he says, "You stop right there." And he says at the moon, "You stop right over there and don't move, because we're doing the work of the Lord." And for 24 hours, it doesn't move. And it stays. Joshua was a man of faith, that through that faith, God honored, the sun stopped. The word of God bears witness. In Joshua 10:14, there has not been a day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua was a man who lived by faith in God, and the more he walked with God, the more he grew in faith. This is 10 chapters later. This is battles and battles later. This is not just, he heard it, oh, let me try this. No, this is a faith tried and true. This is a man who has walked with God and learned from God. But as he grew in his faith, trusting God more and more, till at one point he prays to God and he's convicted that he must command the sun to stop. Oh, the possibilities of a generation of people like this, who would have truly faith-based courage in God, who would truly trust God, who have grown up from boys and girls that came to the Savior to now walking as men and women of God, trusting Him, and able to pray in the midst of battle, and able to be convicted that they must be trusting in God on days like this. Do you believe? If not, read the book of Joshua again. And if you still don't believe, read it again, because if you don't believe it, you haven't read it. This is not a book for little pictures and drawings and, well, look at that, wasn't that special? No, this should say, Lord, so much to grow. But today, help me to walk like that. Because we have battles greater than the Amorites ahead of us. We have enemies far superior than the Canaanites and the giants of the land of Canaan. Let us pray and walk with God. Secondly, a main theme here, I realize that time flies, so we'll just do two main themes today and then we'll apply it. Joshua, the proclaimer of God's word. Joshua was a man who had the word of God on his lips. We read in Joshua 1 verse 8, chapter 1 verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Joshua was a man who spoke the word to himself. Do you hear that? He was a meditator upon God's word day and night. If you would have known Joshua, was a man who you would always hear reciting God's word day and night. If you would catch him walking by the tents, through the tents of Israel, he was reciting God's word. If you would hear him go to bed and you would press your ear against the tent of the leader of Israel, you would hear him speak the word of God. If you would see in the morning washing at the well or at the river or wherever they were, you would see him whenever he was not drinking water or whenever he was not under the water, he'd be reciting the word of God, pondering God's word, learning about God always. But not that alone. We read in Joshua 8:35, There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. Joshua was not only a man who spoke the word to himself, he was a man who spoke the word to everyone and every word of God. He was not a one-message man. He was an every word of God kind of man. He was speaking every word. And so when Joshua looked at you, he was a man who declared to you God's word. He brought the whole people together in the middle of a military campaign and said, we're going to do a nationwide Bible reading. And he read the entire word of God, the first five books of Moses, no doubt. But not that alone. He also led by example in doing the word of God. Joshua 11 verse 15. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. You hear that? He's one who meditates upon God's word. He's always speaking to himself, pondering upon God's word. He's one that declares it to everyone around, and now he's fulfilling every part of it. He was a man with a checklist, so to speak, to make sure that he didn't skip over parts that were too hard or too difficult or unpleasant. No, he wanted to do all God commanded, every part of it. And fourth, and finally, he was a man that passed on the word of God to the next generation. Joshua 23, verses 6 to 8. Be strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand or the left, that you may not mix with those nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them, but you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done this day. He spoke about God's word. He taught God's word. He was a man who did God's word. And he was a man who was concerned with passing on that word to the next generation. And he said, listen, we have followed this path, and now you must walk in it. Are we a people that pass on the word to the next generation? It says, we have walked with the Lord. My days are drawing near to an end. But now, my children, my grandchildren, you must walk in the way of the Lord. Don't move to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't even put the name of other gods in your mouth. Now you must follow the Lord who has been faithful to me. Joshua was a proclaimer of God's word in every way. And so to summarize the other themes, and really the message of Joshua, we must understand it this way. The book of Joshua is the fulfillment of God's promises. God told Moses, I will lead this people out of Egypt into the promised land. And by that time, when God promised that to Moses and to Israel indirectly, they were a people enslaved by the most powerful nation of the earth. There was no hope that this was ever going to happen. Then they were dragged out, or really delivered, chased out, I should say, by the Egyptians ultimately. But God led them to the sea. They're in the desert. They're falling. They're dying because of their unfaithfulness. And yet God will keep his promise. And now this weak little nation that have a mighty God has been led into the promised land and conquered nations far more powerful than them. And cities with high walls that have fallen before them. God has shown himself faithful. Do we believe in this God? Is our faith in need of being reminded by Joshua what God has done, he still does. And Joshua is the type, the picture. of our Joshua, of our leader, of our deliverance. And so the application would be this. You and I, beloved, if you're in Christ and you're a follower of Him, are in the army of the new Joshua, the greater Joshua. And we live in a world at war, not with flesh and blood, not with other people. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to fight other people. No, we are at war with the systems of this world. We are at war with the demonic powers of this world that seek to cling to our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors and the people in this land and lands far away to say we're going to keep them in darkness. We are at war with those powers. And we need to be a generation that trusts in God to break those powers. It brings forth the life of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to bring forth into the world the gospel message as we follow after our King, our great Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring the gospel into the world, into our homes, and then into our streets, and then into our neighborhoods, and then into our cities, and then into our states, and then into our country, and then into the world. One day at a time, trusting in the promises of God. We must have that same conviction that Joshua had. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I cannot depend upon what the world might do, or what the church at large might go and where the world might place its emphasis. My eyes are upon my King. And we walk as a people together following that King to preach His word, to trust in His power and spirit and way until the whole land is conquered and all God's people are brought in. And then we will see our Lord return. Now we see Him from a distance as He rides before us and brings His gospel message everywhere as we declare it. We see Him because He lives within us. When the battle is done, the heavens will break open and all the world will see our Joshua, our King, our Lord, and then we will rest. Until that time, let us walk in faith-based courage. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so weak, but You are so strong. And so we cling to You, O Lord. Hold fast Your people. O Lord, we pray, help us to walk in a way that is faithful, not to desire the things of this world, but desire the things that will not perish, storing up treasures for ourselves, for Your glory in heaven, as we walk day by day. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.